Well, once again, it is good to be in the house of the Lord. You know, one of the things that I love about the Christmas season are the Christmas carols. Honestly, the entire gospel message is given in every one of them. I mean, sometimes you sing them and you just go, any questions? And we can just go home. I mean, they're all there. It's all there. It's just laid out from beginning to end, and I just love it. Again, I just want to say, if you're not doing anything this evening, come back and spend the time just fellowshipping and worshiping the Lord and just singing and reflecting and on those amazing carols that have been written and just allow God to speak to your hearts today. We've been moving through a passage in Luke chapter 2. You don't even need to turn there. It's one verse. For unto you is born this day in the city of David. That's where we are today, in the city of David. For unto you, for you, just take it personal. Just read it personally. Take it personally as you read the Word of God. For unto you. That means that you needed something, that I needed something, that you and I needed something outside of ourselves to rescue us from us. And that is God through Jesus Christ. For unto you is born this day, and one of the amazing things about Old and New Testament alike in the prophecies of old and then the fulfillment in the New Testament, we find again and again that for unto you is born this day at just the right time. And God's plan, as God is moving all of history towards that point in time in the Advent, the coming, the first coming of Jesus Christ, born as a baby, born in a manger, born to grow to be a man, born to be a man who would die as the Savior of the world. But not only born at just the right time, but born in the city of David. So again, the fulfillment even becomes more and more technical as it talks about Bethlehem. Just some verses, some we've already been read this morning, but I just want to reflect on them real quick. Again, in Isaiah chapter 9, for to us a child is born, for to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And all God's people said, this is Jesus right here, the Son of God. Of the greatness of his government and the peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness that time from that time and forever. The zeal of the Almighty will accomplish this. A piece that maybe won't show up in your notes here, it won't, because I just put it in this morning. Luke chapter 2, and this is when the wise men came later to find Jesus. And in Luke chapter 2, 1 through 12, and after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? Can you just imagine that question to King Herod? Put yourself there. In that time frame, as these men came from the east searching, where is the king who was born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed. Now catch what it says. And all of Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. Now catch this, folks, because this is amazing in the age of unbelief, not just now, but then. Here's what they said. They had an answer. In Bethlehem. In Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd his people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem. He said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. And after they had heard the king, they went on their way, And the star that they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him, and they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. In Acts chapter 13, the Apostle Peter is speaking. He says, after removing Saul, he made David their king, God testifying concerning him, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. From this man's descendants, God has brought to Israel the Savior, Jesus, as he has promised. From Old and New Testament alike, folks, the blending of the two, we find the summary of the Christmas story. And this morning, and I don't want you to blurt out anything right now, but I just want you to think about this. If someone were to stop you on the street tomorrow and say, if you could you summarize the entire Christmas story with one word? What would you say? You're cheating, Art. I know. If you could summarize it, if you could capture the story, that what the story points to as the very core of our need and the way that God would meet that need, how would you do it? That is the challenge that we find. That is the challenge even as we read Luke chapter 2, verse 11. Maybe we'll think that that's impossible to do, or maybe in the moment when someone says that, we're going, we stutter. But in reality, could we bring it down to one word? And we can. Art really already gave it to us. And it is so important. It's not that he let the cat out of the bag, because it's not been in a bag, okay? And here it is. As we consider the lovely, amazing, grace-changing, eternally significant word, it is the name of Jesus. Jesus says it all. You see, God's response to the sin of people against his rightful and holy rule can be captured in just that one single word. You know, a lot of times we might want to use the word grace, but grace is because of Jesus. Grace is given because of him. And we would be close if we use that, but the single word that captures God's response to our helplessness, our hopelessness, our darkness, his response to sin, it's not just a theological term like grace. It is a name, and his name is Jesus. Again, in the book of Acts chapter 2, some verses here. Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and what you hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all of Israel be assured of this. God made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. You see, folks, as we come to this time of the year, as we come to really focus and hone back in our hearts and our minds, God did not respond. God's response was not a thing. God's response was not to establish some institution. It wasn't the process of intervention. It wasn't some new program. In God's divine wisdom, God knew that the only thing that could rescue us from us and repair the horrendous damage that sin has caused in not only the world, but in you and I today, was a person. And again, His name is Jesus. You see, God's response to our rebellion was to give Himself to us. He is the greatest redeeming, transforming gift. He is our rescue. He is your and my forgiveness. He is our restoration. He is our life and our hope and our peace and our security. He is our life. And He is, there is no salvation apart from Him. There is no deliverance from the presence and the power of sin apart from Him. There is no restored relationship with God apart from Him. There is no new heaven and no earth apart from Him. There is no end to sickness and suffering apart from Him. There is no defeat of death apart from Him. There is simply no such thing as redeeming grace and all that it means apart from the willingness of God to give Himself in the person of Jesus Christ, the Messiah and Savior. Jesus is the grace of God given. Jesus is God's gift of grace to sinners like you and I who cannot free themselves from the grip of sin that is on us, which is death. The manger scene, the very manger scene that we pointed to this morning, here's what it is. It is nothing more and nothing less. It invites you and I to see God's amazing grace. The Christmas story is about grace is the most shocking and most humbling in its form. Think about this, folks. The Lord of hosts, the one of incalculable glory, humbled Himself and takes on human flesh and blood. The Creator, in a way that boggles your mind, becomes created. The one who made a perfect world now exposes Himself to a world stained with imperfection. The judge of all things places Himself under judgment. The one who deserves worship becomes the lamb of sacrifice. The one who deserves everyone's love subjects Himself to be despised and rejected. The one who owns everything and all things lives with no place to call His own, no place to call home, with no place to rest His weary head. Again, we've said it, but we need to say it again and again. Here is the one word, the single word, is Jesus. It is Jesus. The name of Jesus is the shocking turn in the redemptive story. In sovereignty and with power, God would respond to the sorry condition of His world. With holy authority, He would deal with the image bearers. That's you and I, folks. Those who were made, all of us human beings made in the image of God, He would deal with the image bearers who have turned their back on Him. And yet here is the amazing thing. He would deal with the ravages of sin, not with the tools of judgment, but with a single tool of grace. And again, His name is Jesus. You simply cannot use the word grace without connecting that word to Jesus Christ. Jesus is the grace of God to us. Without His birth, without His death, without His life and death and resurrection, grace would be a sentiment devoid of any helpfulness. Without the gift of Jesus, grace would be a promise with no power. Without the presence and the life and the work of that baby in a manger, there is no light at the end of the tunnel for you and I. There is no happy ending for rebels. There is no home waiting for the lost. There is only darkness, only defeat, only judgment, and only eternal death. And so again this morning, as we reflect and as we have been reflecting on this passage, for unto you, folks, drink that in, for unto you, God had you and me in mind when He wrote those words. For unto you, God made you to be His. And sin separates us from Him. So for unto you is God's rescue plan to bring you and I back into His presence. For unto you is born this day at just the right time. God has been moving history from Genesis to this point, even today. He is moving all of history, all of people, all circumstances, all situations to this point in time where you would know that at just the right time, Jesus Christ came to die on a cross for you and I. Not only did He come at just the right time, but then the Bible also continues, God's Word also continues to verify and validate not only would He come, but that He would be born in the city of David, that He would be the fulfilled promise given to David in the book of 1 Samuel, that from David would come one who would sit on the throne. The one thing I love about Christmas, folks, is there are no questions. Really, there are only answers. You see, we want to have questions, but my friends, here's the deal. All those questions are answered in the name of Jesus Christ. They are answered. So truly, if someone were to come to you and say tomorrow or the next day, could you define, could you tell the entire Christmas story in one word? And my friends, you and I need to say, Jesus Christ the Lord. Jesus. One word. It's Jesus. So remember, as we go from here in this latter week, as we're running frantically and running, wondering if we have everything all taken care of with our families and our friends and all the glitz and the glitter and all the other things that are so fun and so amazing and just the chance to come together as family, just remember that at the center of what we celebrate is one game-changing, life-altering, hope-giving name. And His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. At just the right time and at the exact place, God sent His Son to provide rescue and forgiveness for those who had ignored His existence and rebelled against His rule. That's grace. That's amazing grace. And His name is Jesus. And my friends, it's amazing to me when you read the narrative, the story, of the coming of Christ and His birth and all the things that He went to. My friends, I just want you to know something today. Things have not changed in a couple thousand years. There's still unbelief. There's still doubt. There's still question. There's still wondering. And at the bottom of it, there is still a heart that is controlled and enslaved by sin. And there is only one rescue plan. And His name is Jesus. Maybe you're here today and maybe at some point in your life you gave your heart and life to Jesus. You believed that He was the Messiah, the Lord who came to set His people free. Maybe you have come to that place, but maybe you're sitting here today and you're still struggling in the situations and the circumstances of life that have somehow captured your heart and your mind and have distracted you from the real answer, whose name is Jesus. Maybe you're thinking, Lord, things are just so complicated right now and things are just so out of order and everything is happening around you, and I just want You to know, and I just want to challenge You and encourage You with this, that Jesus is the answer. And in His grace, if you are a believer today, you need to lean on His grace every single day and every moment of your life. Where do you turn? You turn to Him. Not just for salvation from sin, not just for salvation from death, from eternal separation from God, but every day of our lives, we need to turn to Him in the middle of life. We're way, way too quick to just keep Jesus as our Savior for eternal life and not expand that into our everyday life. And folks, I'm here to tell you this morning, I need Him every single day, every moment. Without Him, I cannot make it. I cannot exist. Maybe you're here this morning and this is brand new to you, and I just want you to know that the Christmas story is not just for the church. It is for all of the world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. And on that specific time and in that specific place in history, Jesus Christ was born. And He came to live among us. And He came to be the reflection of God. He came to be God's ambassador. He came to literally die in your place and mine for our sins. And so if you're here today and this is new to you, then He extends an invitation to receive Him, to accept Him as your personal Savior. That is the greatest gift. That is the gift. I want you just to listen to a song that we're going to play, When Love Came Down, and then I'll close in prayer.
Starlight shines, the night is still. Shepherds watch from the hill. I close my eyes, see the night when love is born. A perfect child gently wakes, a mother bends to kiss God's face. Close my eyes, see the night when love is born. Oh, was changed forevermore when love was born. I close my eyes, see the night when love was born.
Was changed the night when love was born, and that name for love is Jesus. Pray with me. Father, we come before you and we just thank you, God. We take this opportunity, Lord, to give you praise and honor and glory. Lord, we thank you that, Lord, the whole gospel message, the whole Christmas story can all be boiled down to one word, and his name is Jesus. And so, Lord, in the stillness of our hearts, God, would you meet us right where we are and speak to us and mend us and continue to mold us and shape us. And Father, we just want to say thank you that even in the sending of your Son, Lord, that was just the beginning, and that you didn't just pat us on the back and say, hope you make it. Lord, that you who began a good work will be faithful to complete that good work until the day of Christ Jesus. And so, Father, we just ask, Lord, that you would go with us, Lord, that you would work in us and that you would continue to mold and shape us and God, make us more like your Son in the way we live and behave and speak and how we think and conduct ourselves, Lord, so that your light might continue to shine in this world, in this place, at this time. And Lord, if there's someone here today that does not know you, Lord, I ask urgently and ardently, Father, don't let them leave this place without them finding the truth, which is Jesus. So God, we open ourselves. Use us. Maybe someone is sitting next to us that would want to ask the question. God, use us today to show the way. And Lord, we thank you and we love you and we praise you. And God, we just give this week to you. Lord, we lift up situations around us right now that are really tough and the struggles. We lift up Marie and her family and, Lord, others that are struggling, people who have lost loved ones. Lord, families that are hurting and struggling. God, we need you. We need you desperately. And so we thank you for the most wonderful and precious gift of all. And his name is Jesus. And we ask all these things in his wonderful and amazing and saving name. Amen. God bless us. You go today.